7 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Everybody, welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Monday, September 29th, 2025. It's a brand new week. And boy, I said it on Friday, how it, results matter. I know it's a process, as Nick Saban used to say, to get the result that you want. But when it's over, the result matters. And this week was going to have a direct correlation, the way this week felt, to what happened in Athens, Georgia on Saturday night. Alabama loses that game, 2-2, 0-1 in the SEC. And we're having a conversation about, is Kalen DeBoer going to, you know, be able to get it done? And we're not having a conversation about College game day coming to Tuscaloosa for the Vanderbilt game? More on that in a moment, but it makes sense when you think about it. We'll tell you, you know, talk more about it. But, you know, the vibe in this town and among this fan base would be completely different. But Alabama won that game. 24-21. 10 out of 11 against Georgia. Kirby's now 1-7 against the Crimson Tide. And Alabama's 3-1 overall. 1-0 in the SEC. Back in the top 10 of the AP poll. And clearly in contention for the National College Football Playoff and National Championship. Wow. Now, here's what I'm going to say, too. Because I'm going to go on a little bit before I get to the sponsor and before I get to phone calls and the guest. I'm going to say this while it's on my mind. If you follow me on my Facebook page, at Gary Harris, at a WVUA 23 Facebook page, you would have been able to watch this. I should have put it on Twitter, but I didn't. X, whatever it is. But I said in my video analysis on Saturday night after the game, huge win, gigantic win. Alabama deserves a ton of credit for winning the game. But now you got to come back and got to do it again. And college football has changed a lot in the last 3 or 4 years. Changed a lot. What we used to think about college football and the way we used to view it has to change for every team. Now, good teams are still good teams. I'm not saying that they're not. But there are more good teams, and there are more teams that are capable of beating you because of the portal, because of NIL, because of the current environment. You can flip your roster over in 1 year. We saw Florida State do it. We've seen Mississippi State do it. We saw Vanderbilt last year do it. So you can't look at the schedule and do it anymore where, well, got to win this game, got to win this game, got to win this game, and then look at the other games and say, well, we're going to win those games. No. Tennessee won at Mississippi State in overtime. Give them credit. Scored 2 defensive touchdowns in the game, a pick six and a scoop and score fumble. Give them credit. But they probably should have lost that game. Mississippi State should probably be 5-0. I thought Mississippi State was a better football team than Tennessee, but they didn't win the game. But that's where we're at. Every week is a new challenge. All you can do, Chase, and listeners, is try to figure out a way to win the game you're playing that week. That's your singular focus. You can't be saying anymore, well, all right, we got an easy one this week. You know, we'll start thinking ahead to the week after that when we play so-and-so and the team can start practicing for so-and-so. Uh-uh. You better have singular focus on your opponent that week, regardless of who it is in this league and really around the country, but particularly in the SEC. Now, if you had told me 2 years ago that College game day would be coming for Alabama and Vanderbilt, or even last year, I would have said you were crazy. But that's where we're at. Vanderbilt is 5-0. Vanderbilt whipped Alabama last year. Vanderbilt's quarterback, Diego Pavia, talks smack before the game, during the game, and after the game. This is a huge game. A huge game. Chase, I think I saw, I posted the poll. I think Vanderbilt's 16 this week. I'll double check that. But I think they're 16 in the AP poll. Alabama's number 10. And Vanderbilt has an opportunity, if they win this game, to do exactly what their quarterback, Diego Pavia, said that they were going to do, which was compete for the SEC championship and national championship. People aren't laughing now. Vanderbilt is a force. And that's got to be the focus. But there's no excuses now, right? I mean, there's no, they're going to sneak up on us. There's a Georgia hangover. All that's out the window. Vanderbilt should, first of all, Vanderbilt deserves respect. I think they're going to get it from Alabama. And Alabama should absolutely understand, number 16, yeah, Vandy 16. Alabama should absolutely understand what's ahead of them now. Again, I laid out all the reasons. They whipped your rear ends last year, okay? They told you about it. They rushed the field on you. They paraded their goalposts down Broadway in Nashville. They have continued to talk about that game. And now you got a chance to get payback. So you quickly have to turn the page and get ready for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Chase, let me ask you, would you have ever dreamed, even a year ago, it's no big deal for College Game Day to come to Tuscaloosa. We know they do it all the time. But for the Vanderbilt game, that is a perfect illustration of where we're at in college football. Vandy? We're talking about Vandy?
Vandy. Gary Vandy. It's college football. You said it. It's just the changing of the guard. I'm telling you, SEC teams are getting better and better every year. I think anybody that doesn't have respect for Vandy is the problem. They are kicking people's butts left and right. They're handling their business. Ask South Carolina how that went. They're still recovering from that. Diego Pavia and co, they are legit, and they're looking to play spoiler once again at home in Alabama. And if Bama doesn't respond, it's going to be a lot of what the heck is going on here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, I mean, we're at, and listen, I'll say this. I mean, there's still so much stuff going on with college football that I'm not a fan of, okay? I'm not a fan of NIL the way it's currently constructed, all right? I'm not a fan of guys playing college football when they're 25, 26, 27, 28 years old. I'm not a fan of a Diego Pavia just refusing to leave college football and then being allowed to stay. I'm not a fan of that. I don't think that's the way it should be designed. But I am still a fan of the games. And I got to tell you, not going to Athens, I sent Jalen Prince and Hunter Brantley over there. And having a Saturday to watch all the games, it was incredible. And then also, of course, mixing some Ryder Cup. You know, it was an incredible Saturday of football watching. Incredible menu of games. But anyway, and I have not added up my picks yet, but I told you I went 7-2 last week. I think I got humbled. I'll have to add it up. First of all, how in the world did A&M not cover? They absolutely dominated Auburn. And then, I mean, Auburn couldn't get... I mean, they couldn't play tiddlywinks on offense. And then you look up, A&M's about to put the game away about three, and Auburn gets an interception, brings it back to the 2-yard line, and it was 13-10. And Auburn had about 100 yards of offense at that point in the game. Finished with less than 200 yards of offense. But A&M did not cover. They won it 16-10. In fact, let me pull out my sheet here. Just briefly go over it because I was so... Let's see. Georgia obviously didn't cover. I had Georgia. A&M didn't cover by a half point. Ole Miss did cover. Tennessee did not cover. South Carolina did cover. Notre Dame did cover. Wow. I have to check on Vandy. It was close. I know they were playing 23.5. So anyway, I'll add it all up and see what I did, but it wasn't too bad. All right, listen, phone lines are lining up, so let me go ahead and tell you, this is the Gary Harris Show again. Of course, I've got my main man, Chase Brumfield, with me. This hour, the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. and put a little extra change in your pocket. Rodney York coming up at 9:30. Can't wait for that. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30. Can't wait for that. We've got the Kalen DeBoer press conference from Saturday night. We've got the Kirby Smart press conference from Saturday night, and we got a ton of phone calls. So let's go ahead and start knocking them off here, you know, because we've got four of them on the line. We'll take one or two here in this segment, then you get to a couple in the next segment, and Philip is going to lead us off, and then we'll have Bryce, and then the next on the other side, we'll have Corey and Mary. Hey, good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Gary. My big worry going into this game is we're a little bit compromised on the defensive front with the Smith is out the first half of the game.
Terrible decision to eject him in my way of thinking. But they did. Yep.
And then of course Russo is out for several games, linebacker. So I would guess Yanze Pierre, of course, will start for him. Is that right?
Pardon me. Yeah. Yanji Pierre's in line to start. He played really well against Georgia. He's played well this season. He's a talented guy, 6'5", about 240 pounds. Also, you know, you have Jamarian Latham, who I doubt will play in the game, although I talked with his dad and put something out on Facebook. He was released, I think it was Friday, from the hospital and is doing well. But, you know, as to whether or not he'll have – I would doubt he'll have any chance to play in the game. So you're right. They're shy on defense. But, listen, I would counter with this, Philip. And I give the defense a lot of credit. To hold Georgia to 21 points, because I thought, you know, watching Georgia run that football in the first half, I thought this game was going to get in the 30s. I think Alabama offensively is going to have to win games. I think the defense, to me, is, again, can you hold teams to field goals? They do a pretty good job of forcing turnovers. Got another one on Saturday night, a big one. Make stops on fourth down like they did, because I think they're going to give up some yards and they're going to give up some points. I just don't think that this is a great defense. I don't think it's terrible, but I don't think physically, I don't think they're going to hold up well in the line of scrimmage. I thought Georgia was able to run the ball a lot in that game. So I'm not saying I hate that they're going to miss James Smith for the first half. I hate that Quay Russo is out indefinitely. Yeah. But you're going to have to do the best you can on defense, and this offense is going to have to score points. And they're going to have to score them on Saturday, because I guarantee you Vanderbilt's going to score some points.
Well, Gary, let me ask you, since you've got a better thumbprint on everything than I do, who backs up Pierre and who backs up, I guess, Eldrick Hill? Who do you think would be spelling those guys? Because they're going to have to be spelled at some point.
Yeah, well, they've got some young guys that they're going to have to step in there and play. I mean, it's just, and I'm not looking at the depth chart right now, and I'll get a better grip on it, but they've got a lot of guys who you may not know. Noah Carter, there's others coming off the edge that they have a chance to play, you know, they're going to have some talented guys out there. But, yeah, numbers-wise, depth-wise, they might be a little short, particularly, you know, an outside linebacker with Russo out and with Latham out. And, you know, they'll just have to do the best they can, piecing it together. Well, but a lot of teams are going to be like that.
Rodney, I'm sure, can inform us. But, anyway, it's going to be a tough game Saturday, and I hope Alabama fans – you know, it's good to celebrate this great win over Georgia, because it was a solid win. But it's the things Vanderbilt does, some things that nobody else in the league does, and including Georgia. So it is going to be a challenge from top to bottom.
No doubt about it. It's going to be a really, really tough football game, a big football game, and a football game that Alabama needs to win. Because, again, it's a week-to-week league, and the last thing you want to do is go to Athens and snap their 33-game home field winning streak at Sanford Stadium and then come home and lose to Vanderbilt for the second year in a row after you hadn't lost to them in 40 years. It's a huge game. You know, that's my whole point. I think fans are starting to get it. Nothing else matters right now. Nothing else matters.
Right.
You know, not going to Missouri, not going to South Carolina, not hosting LSU, not hosting Tennessee, not the Iron Bowl. All that matters is the Vanderbilt game. That's the way fans have to look at it. That's the way the team has to look at it. And if you don't, and you're not ready to go, you'll get beat.
You'll get beat. And I really just hope the defense can come ready to play and gang tackle Pavia and go from there and put up a W. That's about all we can do.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you. All right, let's get to Bryce, and then, as I said, on the other side, we'll get to Mary and Corey. Hey, good morning, Bryce.
Hey, I'm going to start this off with a trivia question.
Okay.
who can say that they beat Kirby Smart twice, Sartesian, and Dan Lanning?
Well, I know the answer is going to be Kalen DeBoer, obviously.
Well, you know, someone else didn't like that trivia question. They didn't like it at all.
I'm assuming you're talking about Cowboy. I know you don't say it, but that's who I'm assuming you're talking about.
Well, I'm just going to say they didn't care for my trivia question. Okay. They didn't like it as much as you did.
Okay.
Hey, we're just going to have to line up. And if it was me on defense, I would put Bray Hubbard on Pobby and hit him every play. Just hit him every play. Put a spy on him. That's what we need to do. And that would stop that because that, you know, Pobby is going to come in here. They're going to think he can run the ball. They're going to come in here wanting to run the ball because Georgia did, unfortunately. You know?
Well, I'm sure Alabama will have a good plan. I think Bray Hubbard's a key part of their defense. I don't know that you can just say, hey, your only job is to hit Diego Pobby every time, because if you do that, then they're going to exploit. You're going to be playing with 10 on defense against 11. I mean, he's going to have to – you can spy him a little bit, but you can't just dedicate one player to do nothing but go after one guy, because that opens up too many other things. But they'll have a good plan. I'm sure of it, you know, and it's going to be a fun game.
Who would ever thought the game day is going to be there?
I know.
Who would ever thought that?
It's something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
so
one.
Coach Saban's going to get to go back.
He won't have to leave home, will he? He'll get to sleep in his own bed. How about that? I know that's exciting for him. Yeah, he's probably one of those that lobbied for the game. He's probably, hey, man, this is a big game. Vanderbilt beat him last year. Vanderbilt's 5-0. I don't know that Vanderbilt has ever been on College Game Day. Maybe they have. I think they might have actually gone to Nashville last year. May have. We'll check that. I'll get Chase to check that. But, yeah, it'll be big for Coach Saban, no doubt. Hey, thank you, Bryce.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me talk, but we just got to run up and bust them in the mouth, you know, and it's 1 week at a time, like you said, Gary.
It's what you got to do, man, 1 week at a time. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to get to the break, and we're going to come back with Mary in the ATL and Corey in Trustful, and then later on, Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com. This is the Gary Harris Show, and we're rocking and rolling. It's a happy, happy Monday in T-Town after the Tide vanquished the Dogs yet again. We'll be back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. Gas prices continue to rise nationally with a $3.13 per gallon average. But in Alabama, gas is 2 cents lower than a week ago, 6 cents lower than a month ago. The average is $2.73 a gallon in Tuscaloosa County, while Perry County continues to have the most expensive gasoline in West Alabama at $3.06 a gallon. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
See him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:24. We gotta go fast, but I gotta tell you some breaking news out of Livingston. University of West Alabama is was scheduled to play Lincoln University of California this coming Saturday at home, man. That game has been postponed. Lincoln is not going to be able to make the trip because of saying they have so many injuries. They're going to try to reschedule that game for a UWA open date in November, November 8th, when UWA has an open date. I don't know. Hopefully, I doubt you can find anybody on this short of notice to play. Man, that's a tough break, too, because UWA is unbeaten, ranked number 13 in the country. And you want to play. You want to play games, man. But anyway, that's the way it is. All right, let's get to Mary in the ATL And then we'll get to Corey. Shoot Rodney a text, Chase, and just tell him we might be a little bit late getting to him. I'm going to get these phone calls in. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, yes, sir. It was a great victory. Victory is definitely sweet, but I am definitely hoping that revenge will be even sweeter this weekend. Because I talked with my cousin that lives in Athens most of the day Saturday, and I asked him if he was going to the game, and he said no, that he was trying to avoid the mentally ill and dysfunctional Georgia fans that were crowding the area. So I think he made the smart choice by not going.
Well, how are the Georgia fans since Saturday night? I guess you're walking with your head held high.
I am, and honestly, it's been pretty quiet.
I bet.
It's been barely a whisper around here. And I went to church yesterday, and before I went to my morning class, my Sunday school teacher just looked at me and shook his head. And I said, that's okay. So it's been whisper quiet since Saturday night. I've barely heard a peep out of them. So I guess they know exactly what kind of whipping they got. Even though it wasn't as high of a score as I thought or expected to be, I expected it to be at least 30 points, but I'll take it. I mean, a win's a win no matter how you get it.
Oh, absolutely.
I wish we had played a little bit better offense in the second half, but other than that, it was a great victory. And definitely going to be celebrating for a while.
No doubt about it. And you take a win, like you said, any way you can get it. And like I said, the modern game of college football, you're just trying to find a way to win the game. And when you do, it's a celebration. Yeah. And then you quickly turn the page. And as you said, get ready for a really competitive Vanderbilt team.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely competitive. I've got to congratulate them for this past week. And I actually had them in my picks. And they were very impressive. I like the look of their offense, but If Diego Pavia is going to do some smack talking, he's got to watch what he says, because I definitely believe that we can come with an even stronger fight, especially with game day coming to Tuscaloosa this weekend. I already know that the vibe is hyped there, and I wish I could be down there this weekend, but unfortunately I can't. But, I mean, we just got to bring the same thing we brought Saturday. I felt like we went in with a positive attitude, even though we did have a couple humps and struggles. But, I mean, I feel like we can bring the same kind of energy back home, just like we did up here on my side of town.
You got it, Mary. Hey, listen, I got to hit some other phone calls, but great to hear from you, my friend.
Absolutely. Roll Tide, y'all.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to Corey over in Trustful. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
I tell you what, there's nothing better than hitting Rammer Jammer on the road in the right gear.
That's right. If you're a Bama fan, that's the sweetest sound you'll ever hear, man.
You know, if there's one thing I'm concerned about Alabama, is the rushing defense. Gave up 225 rushing yards, a little over 4 yards per carry, and we're giving up 160 yards per game. That's not going to cut it against Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt, I think, is number 3 in the SEC in rushing offense. And then offensively, we're 14 out of 16, or we're 14 out of 16 defensively. And we're 14 out of 16 offensively, rushing for 122 yards per game. That's not going to cut it either. And it makes me wonder if we're too one-dimensional passing. And, you know, Vanderbilt's going to run the ball. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do the split veer option like they did last year. But they're going to run the ball and test Alabama's rush defense, especially with no Jane Smith the first half and with Quay Russo out for an extended period of time. So they're going to test Alabama's run defense, and that's what concerns me going into this game, is the rush defense.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Corey. And but like I said, man, you have to find a way to win the game you're playing. And, you know, this offense is going to have to score some points. But at the end of the day, against Georgia, Alabama held them to 21 points, which I think is very acceptable. But you're right. I think they're going to give up yards on the ground. I don't think this is a great run defense. And I think Alabama still continues, for the most part, to run the football. But I will say this. The screen passes, you know, they're doing things that when they're not run plays, they are similar to run plays. And so I think offensively, even though they didn't score in the second half, they still got key first downs. Obviously, they clinched the game late with that fourth down and 5 throw to Jam Miller. So I think that offensively they're fine. Defensively, I'm with you. I think there's some areas there they need to try to shore up. But I don't think that you can expect them to go out in an SEC game and shut people out. You know, you gotta have to score some points.
Yeah, Dennis Rodney or something. Alabama only used two running backs, Jim Miller and Kevin Riley. I wonder why Dre Washington and the other running back wasn't used. I can't remember his name. The 240-pound back. But we only used two running backs in the game, from what I saw. It was just very strange to me.
Well, let me tell you something. When you play the better teams on your schedule, the roster always gets smaller. It doesn't get bigger. You play more guys against teams like against Wisconsin, against Monroe. When you get into the SEC, the roster gets shorter, and that's just the way it is. You're not going to see four or five running backs in a game very often. They're going to play the guys that they trust the most. Obviously, right now, those two are Jam Miller and Kevin Riley. Didn't see Richard Young. Obviously, didn't see Daniel Hill. Or the freshman AK Deer. Now there may be opportunities in other games to get them in, but you don't. You go with the guys that you feel like give you the best chance to win, and guys that you can trust. That's just the way it goes. All coaches do that. I mean, it's very few coaches when they play in their conference against games that mean a lot. Play a lot of people. They usually play the guys that they feel comfortable can help them win the game. So I'm not bothered by it, because quite frankly, a lot of schools around the country in big games won't play more than two running backs. Now you may see three or four this weekend, but they went with two, and that's the game plan. So hey, real quickly, Corey, you got anything else? Because I gotta get to the break.
Would you, if you were Coach Cap, would you stick with the offensive line level? Would you stick Michael Carroll at right tackle and Gene Roberts front guard?
Well, they played four me some at guard too. I think that is an area right now where they're playing seven guys for five spots, and I don't know what, you know, Jane Roberts is not gotten back in the starting role after that injury, but I think they're going to continue to move some guys around. I think you'll see Carroll at tackle some. I think Formby will probably start at tackle. They move Formby inside. They got Vandermark. They got Jaden Roberts. So they're playing some different combinations up there up front. And right now it looks like that's probably going to continue. Hey, great to hear from you, Corey. Have a great day. We'll be back with Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com next.
Chance to win tickets. Bring the entire family. Enjoy food, fun, and one of the largest art shows in the Southeast. For more info on the festival, go to kintop.org.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours.
345-1000, Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representation made that quality legal services to be performed is greater than quality legal services performed by other lawyers.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside
me. But I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly! And there's it!
Whoa! Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Show, it's time for Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, TiderInsider TV, and also a reminder that Rodney will be with me, and we'll have, of course, Wallace Gilberry and Andre Smith on tonight at 7 o'clock Inside the Trenches, our weekly podcast, broadcast here live on Tide 100.9 FM and YouTube, different areas where you can get your podcast. But good morning, Rodney. It'll be a lot of fun tonight getting Wallace and Andre to weigh in on Alabama 24, Georgia 21.
Yeah, look forward to that for sure.
All right, right now I want to get you to weigh in on it, because I have, you know, kind of analyzed it more than I usually analyze a game. I usually leave that to you and others, but I just think it's a fantastic win when you look at where we're at in college football right now. Every week's a challenge, but for Alabama to go in there, with Georgia on a 33-game home field winning streak, knowing the history between the two schools, knowing that Georgia was putting a lot into this game to get this particular win, and to find a way to win the game 24-21 despite not scoring a single point in the second half. I mean, kudos to Alabama. Listen, Vanderbilt's going to be tough too, but for right now, Rodney, just to focus on the Georgia game, you got to give Alabama a lot of credit.
No, look, we need to go back a month. You know, you lose to Florida State. Obviously, it was a terrible performance, and the reaction was, you know, the reaction, what it was. But we said back then, you know, listen, it's the first game. As far-fetched as it seemed at the time, you still had a chance. You take a baby step against ULM. You take another step against Wisconsin. You have an off week. And if you can go into that Georgia game 2-1, at least you've got some hope. And again, it seemed far-fetched a month ago, right? But it came to reality Saturday night. You know, Alabama goes in. They got their feet under them in those two games, the ULM and Wisconsin victories. So they get their feet under them, and then they go out and play, you know, just a fantastic game in a lot of respects. Now, obviously, it wasn't always perfect. There were some issues, and there are some issues. But to go out and find a way to gut one out, and that was the title of our kind of recap, and that's what they did. I mean, it was a challenge, like you said. Georgia had won 33 games in a row. They rarely lose at home. They'd won 33 in a row there at Sanford Stadium. But Alabama went in and took control early. And, you know, in the second half, didn't score a point. But they found a way to defensively come alive in the fourth quarter, got a couple of big stops. And, you know, they gutted one out. They won one on the road. And I'll tell you what, that 3rd and 5 call at the end of the game to seal it.
Awesome.
Man, that was that's a fantastic feeling. It's a lot like when you're in the fourth quarter and you're trying to seal a game up and it's a close game and you're pounding the football right at them. You know, you kind of see the other team. Well, the same thing on that call. That was a beautiful call, fantastic call, and Georgia knew at that point it was over.
Yeah, the best part about it, Rodney, is what was at stake in the game. And, I mean, again, I'm not saying Alabama would have lost the game, but if you punt the ball back there, I think you could expect overtime, if not a worse outcome. I mean, I think Georgia just – and I think DeBoer felt the same way. So you play to win the game, and you play with your offense that had not scored a point in the second half but still had success against that Georgia defense. You want to out-control the outcome of the game. And if you don't make it there, you still have a chance to win the football game. But I'm with you. Not only the call, Rodney, what play they called, but the willingness to go for it on 4th and 5 in that situation and say to your offense, listen, we don't want to give them the ball back. We're going to win it right here.
Extremely well-designed play. Caught Georgia flat-footed a little bit. Executed again. It's a pretty easy throw. But, again, the execution, you know, is at that point is really critical. And, you know, they executed extremely well. Ty delivered the throw. And, of course, Jam makes the catch and slides down, does the smart thing. And the game's over. And, I mean, it certainly was a sense of relief. I mean, you could even see when they flashed to DeBoer the sense of relief there, and understandably so. So, no, it's a big win, a huge win. You know, you can't really say enough about what Kalen DeBoer's done in terms of rallying this team. From that first week, because that was, like I said, I've been, Tider Insider has been going for 30 years. And I don't ever remember, we've had some bad weeks, trust me. There's been a lot of things that have happened. You know a lot of the things, all the stories. But that week was probably as bad as any week I can remember in terms of the reaction, the negative reaction. And just where they are right now is kind of amazing. But they do have a gauntlet coming up, so they just have to take it a week at a time.
That's all you can do, and that's my new theme. Is every you got to find a way to play to win the game, the game that you're playing. That's it. Speaking though of things that you're looking at going forward, first half offensively they did it again. They pounced on Georgia, and you know. Ryan Williams dropped a surefire touchdown. That's something now the drops with him are becoming a concern. But still, I mean, they had a great offensive plan. 24 points in the first half. But if you want to be, you know, glass half empty, you can look at the fact, Rodney, that in the second half, 2 years in a row against Georgia, it was like a switch was flipped. They didn't score a single point in the second half. Won the game, and that's the bottom line. Won it last year. But it's almost like once they, you know, once Georgia adjusted, you know, the offense struggled to score points because they didn't score any. And then defensively, you know, you do worry about the run game. They have a hard time stopping the run. So those are a couple things that negatives that I want you to address. You know, how do you work on, you know, defensively slowing down the run some, and offensively, I guess, being as efficient in the second half as you were in the first half?
Well, you know, I think offensively, you know, Georgia's good. Listen, that's a great coaching staff. Kirby might be the best coach in college football. You know, he's got a great staff. Glenn Schumann over there on that side of the ball, they know what they're doing. We saw them do a lot of the same things when he was here as a defensive coordinator at Alabama. They tightened things up. They went to a lot of man coverage. They got physical with the receivers. You know, I think there was some things there that kind of you could have said, well, that's pretty close there. It could be pass interference. That's how aggressive they became. But, you know, Alabama continued to try to run the football. And they had 117 yards rushing. They didn't run the ball very well, but I thought it was effective enough. They found different ways to run the ball. When you get Kate Proctor involved in your run game, I know it looked like a pass, but it was considered a run. You're having to get really creative to try to generate, you know, ways to move the football on the ground. So, but they did that to an extent that was helpful, I thought. You know, Alabama did dominate the time of possession, 30, but it's a little misleading. I know time of possession, there's 35 plus minutes Alabama had, but Georgia really didn't need that much time, which leads into what you ask about the run defense. I mean, they got gashed. They got gashed up front. Here's the thing. I know a lot of people don't want to hear the negative thing. Well, we found a way to win the game. Well, the defense rose to the occasion, and they did. You got to credit them. Georgia was running the ball at will, but Alabama found ways to get stopped. You know, obviously, LT Overton made an incredible play, knocked down Cash Jones, knocked him off balance. Now, that doesn't – I mean, he barely got him down.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cash Jones might have walked into the end zone. Then they get the stop at 3:19 left in the game. They force a punt, and Alabama holds the ball the rest of the time. So it's a team effort, like Ty Simpson said, complimentary football. But it is a concern, the run game. And here's the thing, Gary. If you're going to get gashed in the run, I'd rather just get gashed and somebody just beat you and you be in position, you know, you're well coached to be in position than to just get gashed when people aren't in position. I mean, you're out of your gaps or you're giving up the edge like they gave up the edge so easily. You know, just so those are things that continue. Those are things that we've seen. And I don't know if you can improve them this year. So I guess what I'm saying defensively against the run, I would probably say it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to have to figure out the best way to try to manage it and maybe get it corrected down the road.
Certainly going to be shorthanded against Vanderbilt. James Smith will be out the first half. I still thought that was just a terrible decision by the officials, but it is what it is. Now Quay Russo out indefinitely. Jamarian Latham, my expectation is that he won't be able to play. So not only are you trying to figure it out, but you're shorthanded up front on defense against the Commodores, who can run the ball.
Yeah, you are. But again, I mean, you're Alabama. You should have players that you have developed and filled in ready to go. Now, they may not be quite James Smith, but they should be ready to go. You know, the fact that they, you know, don't have depth up front, it is an issue. But I would say this, or experienced depth. I did think they did some things up front that I thought they did a better job in the pass rush lanes for the most part that I saw. I know Gunnar Stockton had an opportunity on their second possession. He just pulls that third down pass that he threw. He just keeps it. You know, he runs for a while. But I thought Alabama stayed in the pass rush lanes. They did a good job of keeping him pinned up, and that's going to be really important with Pavia because, you know, he hurt Alabama last year on those plays. But I thought Edric Hill, and we mentioned him in our preview on Inside the Five, our preview, weekly preview on Tighter Insider, we mentioned that Edric Hill could be a guy to watch in this last game. And I thought he made some really nice plays. I thought he stepped up, you know, showed some things. And Tim Keenan back was really, really important. And, you know, obviously LT Overton made a big play as well.
Kind of getting back to what you were saying about the defense, you just kind of have to play with what you have and do the best that you can. And again, Rodney, I think the theme that fans have to adjust to is that week. You know, you just find a way to win the game that week. You don't look ahead to Tennessee or LSU or you got to have this scenario. You just try to go out and win. And I think, Rodney, I get the vibe at least that is what this coaching staff is trying to do. I think they're staying in the moment. I know Coach Saban always, you know, said be where your feet are. That's the impression I get from this coaching staff, Rodney. I'm curious to see if you feel the same way, that they're where their feet are. They're coaching in the moment and understanding the challenge every week. I think that's one of the negative experiences from last year that helps this staff this year, is understanding, having been through this league, that you got to strap it on every week, man, regardless of what the other helmet says. If you're playing in the SEC, you got to be ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% right. I mean, I think that's what they're doing. And I think, seems like to me, the leadership is really good. They're staying focused. They are focused on what the next step is. You know, that's the way I take it, because that's the way it's got to be. I mean, you got Vanderbilt, you got Missouri coming up after that, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about all that last week. But it's a real gauntlet that they're facing, and they're going to have to take these challenges one at a time, and it seems like that's, you know, kind of the approach that they're taking. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, Gary, this too, while we're talking about the defense and the issues and not being able to stop the run, look, every team has its issues. We know that. And I think more so now, obviously, with the way it is in college football, the portal, NIL, all of those things, you know, you don't pile up the depth that you had. And you look at Georgia. I mean, that's Georgia, just looking at them, look, it's a great win. They're one of the top teams. I don't doubt they're a top team. But they're not the Georgia we saw a few years ago, just like Alabama's not the Alabama mm-hmm. they were a few years ago mm-hmm. with all that, you know, experience, depth, and the quality that they had. They're just, those aren't the two same teams. Now, relatively speaking, they are still two of the better teams in college football. Don't get me wrong. So every team has its weaknesses. I think what you said is a great point, and that is that, you know, it's going to be the coaching staff, I think, that can manage their shortcomings the best. As you look at it, because there's probably not any dominant team.
Right.
Maybe there's some that are a little better. Maybe Miami or Ohio State. I don't know. But all of these coaching staffs are going to have to manage the shortcomings. So I think it's how well do you do that?
Well said, Rod. Really well said. All right, I want to talk about the offense, because I do think there are going to be some games in this league where Alabama is going to have to, and this is not a knock on Alabama's defense. I think there are a lot of games like this. We saw it with Tennessee and Georgia. We saw it with Mississippi State and Tennessee this past week, where you got to outscore your opponent to some degree or make plays on defense like Tennessee did. They had two defensive touchdowns in those games. But stopping the other team consistently is going to be hard to do. Modern game of college football is, you know, hold them to field goals, force a turnover here and there, you know, get off the field on fourth down when teams go for it occasionally. Alabama did all those things on Saturday. But offensively, the quarterback, Ty Simpson, just continues to play at a high level. And you know, I mentioned the second half they didn't score, but he continues to not turn the ball over. And as you said, moved it enough, made key first downs. I mean, so it isn't just about, you know, the first half he came out red hot throwing the ball. I mean, making throws that, you know, NFL scouts, I'm sure their jaws are dropping, man. On the run, throwing back across his body, the ball he threw on time to Ryan Williams that should have been a touchdown. But it's not just that. It's his decision-making. It's the way he's running the team. I'm really impressed with everything this guy's doing as a quarterback, Rodney, and I want you to speak to, you know, you see the throws, you see the big plays, but managing the game and the way he was able to do that in the second half and move the chains enough so that they got a win even though they didn't score.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, going into the season, we said, listen, there's no doubt Ty has all the tools physically. We knew that. We knew that coming out of high school. I mean, he's got a great arm. He's got mobility. He's got all the tools. The question was, how would he manage the things that you just mentioned? And you see that week by week, you're gaining more and more confidence. And going into this Georgia game, I said, look, you know, he did it against ULM. He did it against Wisconsin. This is a huge step, doing it against Kirby Smart. You know, they may not be quite as talented as they've been on defense, but that's still a Kirby Smart defense, and they're going to be very, very competitive. So to go on the road in that atmosphere, to handle the stage the way he did, to manage things flawlessly in terms of not turning the ball over. And that's another point, Gary. Alabama hasn't turned the ball over this year. I mean, I don't know if people realize that.
Amazing. I do realize it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it is amazing. And so hopefully that continues. But he managed things flawlessly. He didn't get rattled. You know, he didn't really put the ball in harm's way at any point. Made smart decisions. Made great throws. He had a scramble on a third down. I mean, there were some throws there that he made when guys were, you know, fairly well covered.
Top notch.
And you talk about, NFL throws.
Yep.
To be able to locate the ball the way he did was very impressive in that coverage. And so overall, Ty has, he's carried the team. Let's just be honest. I mean, I know all of the, certainly the offensive line, we cannot go without, and I know you're probably going to touch on it. They did a fantastic job. I'm extremely impressed the way they've rotated players in and, put guys in different positions. I mean, to me, what Wilkin Formby did to be playing right tackle and to be able to move inside the guard and to play, as well as he did, I think he got an extremely high grade from PFF, Pro Football Focus. But to be able to play both spots is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
To see William Sanders, the local product at Brookwood, to come in and to play the way he has.
Yep.
I mean, just to have so many offensive linemen. So I get all that, but Ty is, to me, Gary, and the receivers played extremely well. But Ty is really, really carrying this team.
Yeah, and I do want to hit on, we got two or three more minutes, but I was going to ask about the offensive line because I said seven guys. Really, it's eight. But you're right. I said the roster gets shorter in these conference games, but offensive line wise, they're playing seven or eight games, and I got no problem. Seven or eight players, and I got no problem with it. Still integrating Jaden Roberts back in. Vandermark's been playing. You mentioned Sanders moving for me to guard Michael Carroll. I've got no problem with how they're, handling this offensive line. I like playing more than five guys because it seems to be working.
And, I think even Jackson Lloyd got in a couple of plays at left tackle. The true freshman, which is pretty amazing. But, you're right. Being able to utilize all those players, they've developed some depth. They've developed versatility. You have to give it to them. It's good to see Jam Miller back, by the way. I thought he really had a solid first game back, ran hard, made some plays. Obviously, the one at the end was crucial. Really liked the way they used the screen game at times. So I thought Grubb did a fantastic job on that side of the ball. And again, funny thing was, Gary, just watching Alabama fans say, hey, why are we running the ball? after talking, complaining all the time about let's run the ball more, let's run the ball more. And Saturday night they were saying, stop running it. You're wasting downs. You got to throw the football. So it was pretty, that was pretty amazing the way, that it transpired there. But I thought it was it took a complete effort and they found ways to do it.
And I want to ask you about Ryan Williams. No doubt they're better when he's on the field, his playmaking ability. And he came back and made some nice catches, tough catches. But the drops are a concern. I mean, we saw a couple of them last year, including the Iron Bowl, he dropped a touchdown. He dropped a touchdown against Wisconsin, and he dropped a surefire touchdown. Beautiful throw from Ty. I mean, great player, great talent. You worry about players getting a little bit mental, though. I mean, how can you make some of the plays he makes, and then he seems to struggle with the easy catches, the tough catches he makes. How concerned are you about him in these big games, dropping balls in key situations like he did on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think there's sometimes this, you go through this. It's a maturing process. You have so much success early the way he did. Listen, I know people talk about he was 17 years old. He was 17 years old. And it was a lot to learn, a lot of maturity. I mean, that's a heavy stuff when you make the kind of plays he made in the Georgia game last year as a 17-year-old kid. And listen, I'm not making excuses. I'm saying it's a maturing process. Sometimes on this level, you're going to go through some humbling experiences. And I think Ryan's kind of seeing that right now. But he is a great player. He's got incredible talent. He has a lot of want to. I don't really have any doubt that Ryan's going to eventually, shake this. But at the same time, I think it's something. It's a kind of a message to him. Hey, Ryan, look, you're not invincible. This is a different level. And you've got to bring it between the ears every game. And I think that's something that, he's going to learn from.
And lastly, Rodney, probably even a year ago, you never would have dreamed that College Game Day would be coming to Tuscaloosa ever for a Vanderbilt game. But it's where we're at. And this is a huge game because it's the next one. But with what Vanderbilt did last year, with where they're at now, with the fact that their quarterback talked before the game, during the game, and after the game, this is the modern world of college football. I mean, right now, this Vanderbilt game, it's as big as any on the schedule, not just from the reality of you need to win it, but from the hype standpoint, this is a major national game.
He almost has the feel of Manziel.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, sure.
You know, they beat Alabama. Manziel beat Alabama by 5, you know, his redshirt freshman year, I think, last year. Pavia beats Alabama by 5, comes in for the rematch. Of course, Manziel beat them here in Tuscaloosa. But you know, Pavia is he's a really confident guy. No doubt about it. I mean, so, yeah, it's going to be a real challenge, but, you know, you got to take it one at a time. And if Alabama does what Alabama needs to do, they've got to get out to a better start than what they did last year.
Absolutely.
That was the issue. You fell behind 13-0, and you just couldn't quite catch up, you know, there at the end, and you made some mistakes and all of that. And I think time of possession, really, they kept the ball away from Alabama. Alabama scored 35 points in 18 minutes. Now, yeah, 35 points. I think it was 18 minutes of time of possession. It was kind of erratic. Be really, as I recall, Gary, I don't know the numbers, but the third downs were bad last year against, So they got to figure out a way to get off the field on third downs. And you know what? They got to be successful on third downs, which they were against Georgia, 13 of 19.
Absolutely. They were great against Georgia on third down. You do that every game, you're going to win a lot of games. Hey, Ronnie,
Georgia was 2 of 8, I think, Gary. Two of 8.
Yeah, and held Georgia 2 of 8. Ronnie, great stuff. I'll see you tonight at 7 with Wallace Gilberry and Andre Smith. Of course, folks, TiderInsider.com and Tider Insider TV tomorrow night at 6:30 on WVUA23. Thanks a lot, Rod.
Appreciate it, buddy. Take care.
All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the first hour. We're going to double up these breaks. Thank you, Chase, because I did not want to cut Rodney short, man. Interesting conversation there with Alabama football. So we'll be a little bit later coming back, but when we come back after the top of the hour, it will be the second hour of the program, and we'll get the phone call. Cameron, you hold tight. This hour has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Second hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
Sunday Night Football ended in a tie. Yes, a tie. 40-40, but still a tie. The Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers both walked out of Cowboys Stadium feeling a little worse for themselves, but not as worse as a loss. That is the definition of a tie. A Jordan Love scramble also almost gave that game away at the end, but 1 second left. Packers kick the tying field goal. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson left the game late against the Kansas City Chiefs with fears that he may have suffered a hamstring injury. News is still being awaited on that front. Coach John Harbaugh says he does not believe that injury to be season-ending. Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers is feared lost for the season with an ACL tear. He will be going in MRI on Monday.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 88. For tonight, fair with the low at 65. For tomorrow and Wednesday, the sky partially sunny both days. Highs between 84 and 87 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. After a jam-packed hour of action in hour number one, more of the same phone calls. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30, Ryder Cup. Oh, my gosh, man. the Europeans win on American soil at Bethpage Black, but yesterday was an incredible day. After the Americans were just absolutely dead in the water on Friday and Saturday, they came back with a, man, mega effort on Sunday. Made it interesting. And, in fact, you know, Victor Hovland not playing really hurt the Americans. We'll talk about that envelope rule. I'm glad we asked Casey about that last week because it came into play. Hovland not playing, and the Europeans got a half point. The rule needs to change. You don't play, you need to forfeit the point. But regardless, we'll get to that. We'll possibly work in some Kalen DeBoer and some Kirby Smart sound as well in this hour if we have an opportunity. Right now, though, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by my good friends at Patterson Law Firm. Paul Patterson and North Patterson, local and trusted, here for when you need them most. No recovery, no fee. What does that mean? Well, they take you on as a client, you won't pay a penny out of your pocket ever. The only way that they will collect is if they collect for you. Call today, 205-345-1000. That's 205-345-1000. And remember, when you call Patterson Law Firm, you'll never get a call center. You'll talk to a real attorney right here in West Alabama. Free consultation, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Patterson Law Firm, local and trusted for when you need us most.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
Bama on Bama in the NFL. Quick update here. So many guys always to follow, and another great day of action yesterday. But we've got a trade. It looks like the Cleveland Browns are acquiring Texans tackle Cam Robinson for draft picks. So Cam Robinson, who has played with several different teams, former great left tackle for Alabama, on the move from the Houston Texans to the Cleveland Browns, according to sources that report coming from ESPN.com. All right, let's jump back out on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904 to begin this second hour with our buddy Cameron. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Gary, can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
Hey, my wife's going to say hi to you. Hold on. Say hi
okay.
Hi.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Doing great, finally get to speak to the better half. Heard a lot about you.
That's right, yeah she's between the buoys. Hey man, it's a beautiful day in North Georgia. You know that, Gary?
Oh, I
yesterday and today, you know, all the barking that was going to happen, now I'm just getting the middle finger salute as I wave, and you know, I'm just wearing crimson and smiling. And, man, I'm sure glad the Falcons won. It would have been an ugly week in North Georgia, man. But, hey, question. That two of those calls, what is it called? Leverage? They got called on? You can't – I think we went for a kick. And one guy jumped on the ball and jumped on his back. That's called leverage?
Yes, it is. When you use a player in front of you – to either take your hands and press down on him to get higher or to jump on their back or anything like that. Any type of leverage play is illegal.
I haven't heard that one, I don't think, ever. Was that ever legal?
It might have been years ago. I think years ago it was. And what happened was you'd have guys, especially on extra points or field goal attempts, you'd have guys lining up 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, see, and they'd get a running start. And the lineman above them would just lower down, and they would literally jump on that guy's back and then shoot on up in the air. And
I think that would be more exciting to watch.
It would be, but they got so good at it
from a video game.
But you know what's happening is, I said this last week, these field goal kickers in the NFL in particular, but even they're so good now, and they're using their own balls, and they're kicking field goals, you know, 60, 62, 65, 68, 70 yards. So what NFL teams now are doing is like, you know what? You got these guys getting positioned to make a field goal, they're going to make it. So their special teams coaches are working now more on blocks, on ways to come off the edge, on ways for these. So you're seeing more blocked field goals, especially because when you kick the ball that far, you're driving it. So it usually has a lower angle. So you're seeing teams try to adjust with the idea that, hey, man, these guys, if you got them in position to make a kick, they're going to make it. We got to start trying to block some of these. So you're seeing a lot more blocked kicks, which you're right, is fun.
I mean, that would have been like, that's like video game stuff, like some kind of Madden cheat code, just to, you know, jump up like that. And, I listened to the app, which is working perfectly. Thank you very much. It was a good, glorious Saturday
evening. Yeah, I'm glad we got all that. Listen, thank you for saying that, because I had given out bad information. But, yes, the games are available on the Tide 109 app, clear as day. So, yeah, I'm glad you got to listen to it.
I'll watch it the next day on YouTube, no commercials, and dissect it as much as my knowledge is. And I listen to our broadcasters, because, you know, there's so much Bama hate out there over a decade plus. But I sit outside because, you know, it's cooling off up here in North Georgia. Most of these spiders are freaking ridiculous, dude. Anyway, but I was listening, and I heard the Bulldog Nation up here, because, you know, they sit outside too, and they get drunk. I don't drink. And they were all just like, rah, rah, rah. And I was trying to figure out what it was. And it was that play where that dude dove in late, like an hour after the play was over. Dove in, and they're like, what the hell did he just do? The play was over, and they got a 15-yard penalty for it. And I was like, what? Do you remember that play? He just dove in. I mean, we were moving the pile. It was like a scrum and rugby or something.
It was
dove in an hour later.
Stupid play. Stupid play.
Was that not my North Georgia education, but was that not targeting, leading with the helmet?
It should have been targeting. I mean, they gave him the 15-yard penalty for jumping on
that
the pile.
Was dumb,
but it was targeting. He used his helmet. It should have been targeting. It should have been ejected from the game.
Yeah. But that's two times that I was like, Kirby, man, you used to be our boy. Your defense with that leverage, and this is dumb, un-Kirby-listic. Dude, what's a tie? A tie is, we don't do, can you imagine if the Iron Bowl was in a tie? What is a tie? Someone's got to win and someone's got to learn. There shouldn't be a tie in NFL, in checkers, there shouldn't be a tie in anything, but that's just me ranting. But hey, did you see the fake push Jalen did? Because they were waiting for it.
It was only a matter of time before the Eagles. You know,
that was beautiful, man.
Yeah, and it's the way these coaches adjust things is that was just a walk-in touchdown from Barkley. Now you got other things to worry about when they line up for the tush put. The Eagles, man, they're a hard team to beat, buddy. They can win a lot of different ways.
You called it about Arkansas, man, and holy moly, Petrino's back at the helm again, if even for a week, man.
I'll tell you what that guy did, embarrass that university and lie and everything else, and he's back as the head coach. It just goes to show you, man, there's no shame in college athletics.
Horrible,
all right, Cam.
Take care, brother. Roll Tide.
Good to hear from you. All right, let's keep it rolling on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904 and talk to Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, you know, I spouted off about Alabama not being man enough to beat Georgia. And, of course, I had to eat those words. But you know and understand that I was really using reverse psychology.
I know. You're the master. You're the master of reverse psychology, buddy. I know that. I know that's what you did. Maybe that's what I did, too. Who knows?
Yeah, I think so.
I told people one good thing about me picking against Alabama is I'm rarely right when I do. Usually when I pick against Alabama, they win. So I know a lot of people are out there saying pick against them from, you know, in the Vanderbilt game.
That is so funny. But let me ask you this. I'm still worried about the defensive line. What's your take on?
Well,
am I wrong?
No, I think. Listen, I think that. I think that they're okay. I don't think they're great, but you know, Georgia's not great anymore. I think it's. As I said, I'm trying to change the way I view things. I'm trying to the way I look at college football, I don't know that you're going to see dominant defensive lines anymore the way Alabama had them, Georgia had them, other schools have had them. Because, I mean, guys come in, they'll go in the transfer portal if they don't play. I don't know that you can develop guys over time the way you once could and stack depth. But I think they've got some good players. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the ability to stop the run. I'm concerned about backside containment. I'm concerned about a lot of things. But I tell you what they did do, Tom, and we've talked about this. If you're going to give up some yards on the ground, you got to make some plays. They forced a huge turnover deep in Georgia territory. They got off the field on fourth down. You got to look at, hey, man, hold teams to field goals, you know, force some turnovers. If they go for it on fourth down, you know, make a play or get off the field on third down. And Georgia was only 2 of 8 on third down. So they did some good things. They held Georgia to 7 points in the second half and won the game. So as much as I'm concerned, I'm also encouraged, if that makes any sense.
It makes all the sense in the world. I watched LSU and Ole Miss Saturday. And you're exactly right. You know, LSU, if they were nothing else in the past, they were tough on defensive line. And they're not anymore. My wife said when we were watching the game, I was pulling for Ole Miss. She's somewhat of an LSU fan. But she said, you know, LSU just doesn't look like LSU anymore. And I go, you know what? You're exactly right. And Alabama don't look like Alabama anymore, but that's the deal. Anyway, Gary, thanks for your take.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you, man. And, I'm always, you know, I'm always concerned every game. And I was concerned about the defense stopping the run, and Georgia ran the ball. But, again, I'm going to give the defense credit because they made plays when they had to make them. And I think the modern game, we don't look at defense the way we once looked at it. I don't know that you're going to go out there like Alabama did under Saban and some of those teams in, you know, 2009 and 11, 12, 13, you know, 16 and just completely shut down the other offense. You're going to give up plays. Your offense has to be able to score, and you have to be able to make some plays on defense. And they did that. Again, forced a turnover deep in Georgia territory. Made the big fourth down stop. You know, we're able to get off the field on third down. Those are keys. And they held Georgia 21 points and got a win. All right, it's 10:16 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street downtown. It's where I've been a member for over 20 years. I'd love for you to join me. I love the facility. I love the people, not just the staff, but the members as well. It's a great, great facility. Those beautiful two new, brand new outdoor lighted pickleball courts are open for play. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa, plenty of parking, plenty of encouraging people, and also the Silver Seekers program for seniors, which will give you a big discount on your membership. Find out more about the Y at ymcatuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with more phone calls here on the Gary Harris Show. Stay with us.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread newsroom.
Through the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Alabama Senior U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville has told Fox News if the federal government shuts down at midnight tomorrow night, it will be one Democrat's fault.
Well, I hope we don't shut it down, but it's going to be the Schumer shutdown.
Chuck Schumer is a Democrat leader from New York. Jasper High School has been sanitized. Such a student was reported last week to have contracted tuberculosis. It's Walker County's first TB case since 2022. And sports, Bama football back in the top 10 at number 10. That's before hosting number 16, Frank Vanderbilt, on Saturday at Bryant-Denny. Fall is here, so let Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram put you in a Ram truck, a Dodge Charger, or a Jeep. Shop the dealership where former Bama quarterback Jalen Hurts shops. Tuscaloosa's
5-345-1000 Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
When the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans,
affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high 88. For tonight, fair with the low at 65. For tomorrow and Wednesday, the sky partially sunny both days. Highs between 84 and 87 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows. Read the great articles and interact with Bama fans today.
7:22. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And as I said, we'll get to some video or some audio of Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart. But if we don't, we don't, because we're going to take our phone calls. Next up is Robbie Glenn. Hey, good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, Gary. Happy Monday. And just great day in Alabama after that big game. That was a great win. Really liked, you know, the whole game in general. I mean, that was two powerhouse teams going at it. Just if you weren't impressed with both teams, how hard they were hitting and how fast they were, it was fun to watch, and glad we came out on top. But it was a great game. I was excited to see Jam Miller back. I think he really helped that offense. Not so much the stats, but he picked up so many of those blitzes from Kirby's defense. He wasn't, you know, shocked what he saw out there. He was picking up everything for Ty. And then, of course, the big catch at the end just sealed it. So I was glad to see that. That was big. Oh, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm just listening to you. I think you're laying it out. Yeah. You're laying it out nicely.
Yeah. You know, and of course, you know, the play your previous call was talking about, the game. Stupid, but man, I was impressed with the height he got. Jeez. he was soaring through the air to get on that pile. I don't know why he did it, but that was impressive. And then, of course, Proctor's catch, running over people. I had immediate flashback to Andre Smith doing that on the goal line, your co-host tonight. So that was fun to watch. And that was a creative play, and congratulations for him on that. He was excited about it.
Oh, no doubt, man. Just a lot of big plays in the game. The first half, the offensive scripting of the plays, those first two drives was incredible. Overcoming on that first drive, a play where you dialed it up and Ryan Williams is behind the defense wide open and Ty hits him in stride and he drops the ball and you still go down and score a touchdown? Yeah. I mean, how impressive is that?
Yeah,
that's a drive killer for most teams.
It was a drive killer for Georgia later in the second half when their guy dropped it.
Probably cost them the football game. That kid makes that catch there. They probably win the game, but he didn't. And they couldn't overcome it, like you said.
Yep, didn't. And we did. So that was great for them. And, you know, and now here we are, game week. Well, it's also Striker Strong week. So, you know, my stress level's high, but I'm glad that we have another big football game and game day is going to be there. I think Florida State made that possible by losing Friday night. Because, you know, we're talking Vandy. I mean, really, we're talking Vandy game day, but it is what it is because they did beat us last year. It's going to be a great game, but I think we'll be ready for it. We have some injuries, but that's part of football. They'll be geared up, ready to go for this game after what happened last year.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And as I said, no excuses now. I mean, you know, you didn't know last year what Vanderbilt has become, but you know now. You know, there's no sneaking up on you. They beat you last year. Their quarterback talked trash before the game, during the game, and after the game. They're 5-0. They've been wearing people out. They're ranked number 16 in the country, and game day's here. So it's a big game. It is a marquee game. And one thing that concerns me is you can run all of the analytics that you want, all of the data, whether it's night games, road games, home games, bowl games, whatever. There's not a single stat that is worse for Alabama football in terms of winning percentage than game day.
Right.
You know, they you know, now granted, you're usually playing huge games against great teams, but Alabama percentage wise probably loses more on game day when game day's at their game, home or away, than they do in any other metric that you can find. So they have not always done well when game day has been at their games. So you got to overcome that as well. I know there are a lot of Bama fans who are out there saying don't come. So, but you know, that's what happens when you're Alabama and you make games bigger for other teams. Not that Vandy hasn't had a great year, but they're probably not coming for Vandy at you know, a lot of other schools in this league. But Vandy at Alabama, based on what happened last year, based on where Vandy's at right now, based on Alabama beating Georgia, and here comes game day, which it still surprised me when I saw the news. But because I thought they'd be in Athens last week, but they went obviously to Penn State. And and then, like you said, if Florida State doesn't lose, they're probably at the Florida State-Miami game. But now they're here in Nashville, here in Tuscaloosa for Alabama Vanderbilt. So it's going to be big.
It is. And I hate to talk about previous games, but the last time a quarterback ran his mouth, he backed it up too, and that was Castellanos at Florida State. And I hope the guys remember that because they didn't show up for that game.
they'll be ready for this game and him running his mouth. So you got to be. So it's going to be epic. Another big Saturday.
Absolutely. And a big Friday, too. Once again, get the word out about Striker Strong if people want to, you know, come by, or, you know, you could still, I'm sure, take some volunteers, tell them how they can do it.
Yeah, you still can come by. It's Friday. The Friday at Frank House in Bessemer. Yeah, first tee time is 7:30. The second wave is at 1:30. It's packed out. Looks like it's going to be good weather. I try not to look at it and jinx it, but anyone that wants to come out and just help, we always need volunteers because there's, you know, 280 golfers and how many vendors and just people that come out just to socialize. You know, there'll be some players, ex-players, some of my old teammates from Alabama baseball will be flying into town to be a part of it, and I always love seeing everybody come out. And it's, you know, A Club is a big guys, and a lot of my athlete friends from basketball, gymnastics, everything come out, and it's always a great event and raise some money and help some area kids and area schools, along with TBRS that Striker has. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it. My stress level's high, but I'm used to it, so I'll have it all covered. And I got a lot of good helpers, too.
Hang in there, Robbie.
Yeah, we'll be there.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Gary.
All right, 10:28 here on the Gary Harris Show, and lunch is right around the corner, and why don't you check out my friends at Who's Q and Brew for lunch. They have got all kinds of lunch specials and great, easy location right off Highway 82 in Tuscaloosa in the Northridge Center. Open at 11 a.m. Check them out. All right, we're going to come back and check out Casey Smith on golf. Lord knows we got a lot to cover there. We'll do that next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Easy and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching Donald Trump? Are you watching Donald Trump?
All right. The European Ryder Cup team trolling the president after their victory in the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. Donald Trump knows all these golfers. I'm sure it was in good fun, but boy, an emotional Ryder Cup, and the Europeans absolutely did not hold back in their celebrations, trolling the president, trolling Keegan Bradley. And to me, again, I'm an American. I'm biased. I'm going to say that before we do this segment with Casey Smith. So my point of view is not objective at all. To me, Shane Lowry is the most unlikable golfer on the planet. And for him to be the one that clinched the half point that the Europeans needed to retain the Ryder Cup made it particularly disgusting for me. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gary. You know, I'm doing great, celebrating a Alabama victory over here in Georgia, and went to the game, and then also taking one on the chin for the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, great win for Alabama football, and but for the Ryder Cup, there's so much to wrap your arms around here. We'll get into all of it because let's just start with the competition itself. I mean, for all the hype about the Americans, you know, coming together and matching the Europeans and brotherhood and all of this and the intensity and they send DeChambeau and Thomas out first on Friday morning. And the first 2 days, they absolutely laid an egg. Now, we'll get to Sunday in a moment and what might have been the most incredible comeback ever had it not been for the envelope rule, which I'm glad I asked you about last week. More on that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But you just can't start out in any sporting event, whether you Georgia last year in Tuscaloosa getting down 28-0 or you can't come out and get worked over in the opening round of foursomes in the morning on Friday. You're running uphill the rest of the way, and Americans did it again this year. They got off to another terrible start. After the first day, you knew, barring incredible play, that you were going to not win the Ryder Cup. I mean, how does that happen? You get smoked after you put so much effort into putting this team together.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to point to why this happened. And some of it is, first of all, congrats to Europe. They played great the first 2 days. It set them up for that win. You know, got drilled yesterday. But they got, like you said, they got so far ahead. But I think it's exhibition versus legacy. Over there, legacy matters. Your Ryder Cup record is almost as important, or if not more important, as your major record. And, you know, that is where the home of golf was in Scotland and Europe. So, you know, the thing that I think hurt us is our captain, you know, I think the player said, you know, he did whatever, and they're going to take some of the blame for getting out putted. But he's in control of the course setup. And or has as much to do with it as anyone. And they whiffed there on the course setup because, you know, when Europe won in Rome, they realized that their best positions were 180 to 200 yards out. So all the par threes were 180 to 200 yards out, and all the driving, you know, most of the driving holes less than 180 to 200 yards out. We set this golf course up. If we were, you know, we're significantly better than them tee to green. This Ryder Cup team in particular, they're better than us putting. And going into Sunday, they had 8 out of 9 top 9 putters. But it's because as the greens got faster as the week went, yesterday they were the fastest and driest, we made more putts.
Yeah.
We need the recipe is fast greens for us. He failed on that, and he took some of that on the chin, Keegan Bradley. But that's really one huge thing. And the second thing is you heard me mention last week, JT shouldn't have played in foursomes. He should only play in four ball. He played one foursomes match and got beat. We should have started with four ball. We're significantly better historically over Europe in foursomes or in four ball. Should have played four ball out of the gates. Like you said, you got to create the momentum. You got to get out ahead. We go play a format to open up, and it's the captain's choice. We play the format to open up where they're significantly stronger. So here we are fighting an uphill battle, a course setup that favors them. Turns into a putting contest, and we've got our best putter on the bench, and we're playing a guy who's really just a, you know, JT's an elite four ball player. But then you put out Harris English and Colin Morikawa, who could have been the 132nd best pairing by Data Golf, and he put them out 2 days in a row in foursomes. And so just some of that, along with the envelope rule and along with the course setup, you're fighting an uphill battle. And Europe, on the other hand, is turning over every stone. It's very detailed. They have a plan. They're using data to the max and in every way. They're using data for course setup. They're using data in pairings. They're using data all around. And then they also just played great.
They did. And but I mean, you said a lot there, Casey. But one thing, some of it was bad luck, too, don't you think? I mean, to have rain like they did.
Well, they were watering on Wednesday. I was told they were still watering on Wednesday, and I know some of that Poana's got to have that to create, you know, sometimes for a little bit more of a level playing surface. Their greens are Poana in the south. Poana's a weed in the north, and then California coast, it's the native grass. But then it rained, and you could, you know, you can't get caught doing that. And then the way that they position the course to where they cut the rough down, well, we're better tee to green, right? Then it's got, you know, if we play a traditional Bethpage Black setup, which is U.S. Open, PGA, one of the hardest golf courses in America, we're going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better for us. So you just got, you know, the venue set. You got to go when you have control of course setup, They're doing it. Why would we not be doing it?
Right.
Green's got to be electric, lightning fast, and you got to make it really tough. You know, we're hitting it further than them off the tee. We just can't give them a putting contest on slow greens, which is in Europe, right? Europe, the greens are slower than they are in America.
So they made it into a birdie fest, which is not what you're saying does not benefit the United States team. And so you're asking yourself, why in the world would you not, you know, raise the rough up and play it at U.S. opener height and not make the greens really fast? Can you answer why? It makes no sense to me then.
Well, he said he missed on it, and so it's PGA Tour and him. But he was thinking, I think, birdie fest, get the fans into it. And you saw some of that yesterday, right?
Yeah.
But the greens were fast, right? And that's what had – if you're going to do that, then at least the greens have got to be fast. But you took the teeth out of Best Page, and that would have been a lot – I mean, they're set up to be – to play the golf course the way that it was played the first 2 days. That is just perfect for Europe, right? They're hitting wedges. They're getting in there, and you got 10 or 11 centimeter greens. You can make runs at everything, and they're just better putters than us. So then you see what happens when we get out of a team format. We get into singles.
Yep. Whole different deal. Now, let's get to that, because yesterday was electric. And listen, we knew based on the score that it would take the greatest comeback in the history of the Ryder Cup for the Americans to win. But they almost did. I mean, you send Cam Young out. He gets a point. JT gets a point. DeChambeau made an incredible comeback down five, I think down five holes after like six or seven holes to get a half. And then all of a sudden it's rolling and the Europeans are feeling the pressure. You could see them tightening up. You could feel it. Those putts that were going in weren't going in. And the Americans were making everything. JT's holing out. He beats maybe the guy playing the best of anybody in the world going into the Ryder Cup in Tommy Fleetwood. And then Henley's got a chance to win that match, misses a couple of putts, and Lowry clinches it. But that gets you to the envelope roll. And you and I think we agree with this. Keegan Bradley said it. That's got to change. It's unfortunate, but if a guy can't play, and he's got to forfeit his match. I mean, this giving each team a half a point is a joke. And it does set up the potential. Not saying this would ever happen, but it sets up the potential in a situation where a half point could be a deciding thing for a team to say, hey, you don't feel great tonight. Instead of going out there and gutting it out, we're gonna pull you out. It's just you get that full point yesterday, or at least a chance to win that full point if Harris English could have gone out and played, it might have changed things. It might have led to the greatest comeback in Ryder Cup history. It was that dicey yesterday for the Europeans. Would you agree?
Yeah. Harris English is a great player in his own right, and you were obviously better than them at singles. And, you know, a little suspect to me. I mean, they panned in on JT when the announcement was made on the range yesterday morning, and he said some choice words, shaking his head. That video is out there. I think that if you can't play, you lose. If you miss your tee time in golf, in a traditional golf tournament, you're stroked. If you're 10 minutes late, you're disqualified. And then in any other sport, you lose. And, you know, the thing that was almost crazy, too, is if Henley makes that putt, we're probably just as – it would have been a 50-50. We would have either had a 14-14 tie, and Europe gets that half a point from envelope rule and retains the cup, which would have hurt even more, or, you know, the greatest comeback in the history. It was probably headed towards that 14. I was thinking, man, this is going to be a 14-14 tie, and they're going to win with that. And that guy's over there laughing. Doesn't look hurt, drinking champagne, Victor Hovland, drinking beer, you know, net turning his neck back, and it just didn't look good to me.
It wasn't a good look. No way.
It just doesn't look sick well with anyone that's a competitor. And, you know, the day before, he's hitting 118 swing speed, you know, on the driving range to end the day. And then you wake up and that happens, and it's like, you're so close. Every point matters. And it obviously did. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the one other thing you point to is, I said last week on the radio was, you know, the top players, whoever on each side, the top players have to go out. And that's really going to be a deciding thing. A lot of times you're paired against the other top players. Tommy Fleetwood got 4 points. Rory McIlroy got 3.5 points. Scottie Scheffler, who I couldn't love anymore as a golfer, got 1 point, right? Big difference there. And so when you look at these, some of these bad decisions made, the margin was really close. And that's the issue, is it's razor thin margins. It's there for the taking for us. we just got to, you know, approach it with a little bit more detail. We know we're going to be really good in singles. That's been the case forever. Figure out a way to get the pairings right and get some of these guys to play together and do something in advance. And, you know, as use the President's Cup to be as an advantage instead of just another exhibition, to go out there and create some pairings to where, you know, then when it comes Ryder Cup time, we know what we're doing. We know who likes to play together, because we keep losing the Ryder Cup in the team aspect, in the foursomes. And really, truly, Patrick Reed, over the last decade, the best foursomes player ever out of America, he's 4-0-1. And I know they don't like him. I know ego, but like, just drop all the ego nonsense. If you're gonna have, you need to go win, because they've won 11 of 15 Ryder Cups. They've won four times on American soil since we've won on European soil. And every year we've been the favorite of every single one of those.
Wow. All right. Let's get to the fans. First, I want to get to JT. I want to ask you this. Yeah, one time he was the number one player in the world. I mean, there were people predicting, you know, 7-8 majors for him, you know, chance to be one of the all-time greats. He's still got an incredible record, 16 wins, 2 majors, a players. But wins have been few and far between. And even this year, which was his best year in a while, he got the one win, but down the stretch he did not play well. This is a crazy question, but I'll ask you because you're the golf guy. I don't know. I don't play at that level. What he did yesterday, is that something that could propel him to come out against, again, I think Tommy Fleetwood was playing better than anybody in the world, Scheffler included, going into this tournament, or as well as anybody in the world. And to stare him down yesterday, to go 2 down, to come back, to make that putt on 18 with all the pressure of the entire country on your shoulders and win that match, is that something that could carry over to his individual career, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that should give him a shot in the arm. But, you know, he's 4-0 in singles. In
Ryder. Oh, I know. Yeah, he's the best singles player they got.
And that match probably was just as important as any because of who you said who he played and being second to really get that momentum going. Mm-hmm. I was super proud of him. He fought his tail off and battled. And he did the whole time. I don't think he should have been in foursomes, but just because of the wild tee shots and occasional cold putter. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think it could and should propel him back into, hey, I am one of the best players. Let's go take advantage of this and really hit the gas. And, you know, he can win any tournament he plays in. You can see his skill level. It seems like when he gets in that, he just finds this other, you know, we don't see him show that type of emotion in regular golf and PGA Tour golf. And it fires him up and it gives him a little bit more of attention, it seems like, to just diving in and competing harder. And maybe that's what he needs on a weekend to week out basis, where he just sort of goes up and down. Mm-hmm. They're always trying their hardest, right? And
they're right, sure.
Too hard to not Absolutely. Win the majors. He's won a few majors, but that team concept, that team environment for him, it does something to him because look, 4-0 is 4-0 and he's 4-0 and he's only been on one of the winning teams.
Yeah.
Three of those teams lost.
Yeah, and he's beating McIlroy, he's beating Fleetwood. I mean, he's right.
He's beating the best players. I mean, he has to think, if I'm him today, I would be thinking, I'm one of the best players in the world. I'm one of the top 3 to 5 best players in the world. Obviously, Scotty and Rory. Right now, you got to say Tommy Fleetwood. But when you go for the fourth person, it'd be hard not to go, he's in that conversation after what we just witnessed.
Yeah. Well, I hope it propels him to a huge 2026. I want to see him be competitive in the majors. And obviously, I'd love to see him win one, but just be competitive. Just be going into Sunday with a chance to win, which is something that he has not been able to do here lately. All right, let's get to what, you know, the off the outside the rope stuff with the fans. Listen, I'm not objective, and I don't think you are either. We're Americans, man. We want to see the Americans win. Mm-hmm. And it's in the rivalry has gotten amped up. And a lot of these guys are carpetbaggers anyway. And I'm not blaming them. I want to live in the United States of America too. But most of these guys, you know, they're playing for Europe, but they're going to go home to Arizona or Florida after the matches. And so, and there's been taunting going on for a while. You and I've talked about it. It's probably not ideal, but it's like sports getting involved with gambling, organized gambling, and then being shocked when you have players that get caught up in gambling situations. You can't invite the crowds trying to get a younger demographic, marketing golf as, you know, Happy Gilmore type stuff, having the tournament in Scottsdale, bringing in people who aren't traditional golf fans, and then put them in an event like this, which is partisan, and not expect there to be some gamesmanship. And again, I wasn't there, and you weren't either. And I think it's unfortunate, but a guy like Shane Lowry brings a lot of this stuff on himself anyway. He's adversarial, man. He's looking to stir the fans up. You can't convince me otherwise. And Rory then plays the victim, and he did some of the same stuff. Again, I'm not making excuses. I wasn't there, and I think you and I both agree. That's something that's got to change in golf. You know, Liv's brought a lot of this in on too, with playing music and all this. We have lost the etiquette of the game. But you can't trend it the way it's trended and then act shocked when you get this, Casey. That's what kills me. Now I'm listening to the Sirius XM this morning. I'm watching the Golf Channel. Oh, this is a tragedy. Oh, this is horrible. We can't. You've allowed it. You've welcomed it. You've embraced it. Now you got it. You got to live with it.
Yeah, I mean, shame on the PGA America. They paid Heather McMahon, the comedian, to take the mic to try to, you know,
Yeah, she stirred it up.
She's saying, you know, bad words, F you, Rory.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And also, no. Go to Alabama or go to Athens, Georgia, and see how an in-game environment is to get a crowd rolling, to get people fired up, the music that's being played. They're out of touch with reality. I have a bunch of people I know that were on the grounds. It was kids around, you know, and the tickets were, you know, roughly $1,000 or more. And there was booze, I heard, everywhere to be bought. And then there were VIP tents everywhere with liquor flowing. And then you got the New Yorkers, which we discussed many times, very big concern. And they're there to jeer. It's how they live their life. It's a terrible way to go about it. I mean, it's just not classy, and it's not what needs to be going on. And, they said, everyone I knew that was there said it was really bad, really embarrassing, really bad. But you know, you got the other side responding to it. They've got to tone down the temperature, and they're going to have to eject some people for the language on both sides and get that out. You can't have all that terrible language, especially with kids around, and get it into cheering for your team and cheering for good shots, because I've been to an away Ryder Cup. They treat us really well over there, and they cheer. Their fans cheer for good shots on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Our fans are trying to make it a home course advantage, and it does a little bit, especially in singles. But they've got to, you know, they got to stop and just not let the line get crossed. And some of it's alcohol related, and some of it is just you're going to have to step. Look at the Masters; they run the greatest golf tournament in the world. They don't let people act crazy. You're out, and you're just going to have to say this behavior is allowed and this behavior is not. PGA of America failed on that. Trying to create a crazy environment, and it's on them.
Yeah, the comedian thing backfired big time. You can't have somebody in the crowd that you're paid to say F you, Rory. That crosses the line, because then everybody's going to join in. I mean, that's just
it's like giving crack to a crackhead up there in New York.
Yeah,
you just told all those people, hey, green light, be the ugly New Yorker that you can be.
Yeah,
really not good.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap this up, but I'm disappointed. I wanted the United States to win. It's in Ireland in 2 years. Is that right? Where's it at, Casey?
Adair Manor in 2 years, 2027.
Well, yeah. Got a lot of work to do, but it'd be nice to see the U.S. go over there and win the cup on foreign soil. And they got 2 years. Maybe they're going to learn from this. I don't think it's a talent deficit. As good as the Europeans are, I think the Americans match them with talent. It's like you said, there's something else that they've got to find and figure out if they're going to win the Ryder Cup. Just 30 seconds of closing thought on something maybe that we didn't cover.
Well, 30 seconds today, I was in Athens. It was an electric environment, and I'm really proud of the Alabama football team. Southern Company had handed out these light-up bracelets, everything they could do to win that game. It was their Super Bowl. Man, we played freaking great. Just really awesome. And seeing Coach DeBoer fired up, I like where this team's headed. That was a huge win. Snapped the 33-game win streak. And those dogs played like the dang dogs on the Ryder Cup. All three of the dogs in the Ryder Cup played like the dogs' breakfast. So, sorry, dogs.
All right, Casey. Thank you.
See you.
All right, 10:54. We'll come back. And Super Joe, hold on, partner. We're going to try to get to you for just a minute when we come back before we close out the show. We'll be right back after this.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll recap Alabama, Georgia from your perspective. And the good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. with The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house-made quesos,
and options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 88. For tonight, fair with a low at 65. For tomorrow and Wednesday, the sky partially sunny both days. Highs between 84 and 87 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 100.9 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
A few weeks, we've seen a very different Alabama offense. Another little wrinkle here, moving Cam Miller. They go empty. Miller's out to the left.
They got Caden Proctor, the big tackle on the left side. They're going to throw it to him. Big fella, barreling downhill. Proctor muscling down near the pylon. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I feel so bad for Kyron Jones, the poor safety, 31, that tried to come up and make a tackle.
Aiden Proctor just trucking people on Saturday night in Athens. That's courtesy of ABC with Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. All right, we're going to get to Super Joe because he's been holding just real quick. What up, Ida?
Hey, man, everything great, man. We got that victory over Georgia. I knew we could do it.
I know you did. I know you were on the Tide train the whole way.
Yeah, tell me about it. I said, you know, but I'm going to say, listen, but I know we are motivated to go ahead and get revenge on Candy. That's why I call them Candy, because they're going to be like a snicker bar. We chew them up, because, I mean, we got to get revenge this week. It's going to be, what, a 3:30 game?
2:30 Central. Yeah.
2:30 Central. Yeah. Because yeah, I said, like I said, well, hey, as long as they keep that fire, tell you one game at a time, keep that poise, and we let Caleb DeBoer be the best Caleb DeBoer. We got this. And, you know, and I say like this, we play like this every week. We going to the SEC Championship to play Ole Miss.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Well, you listen, man. You're on it, and you're on top of it, Super Joe. And call back tomorrow when we got more time, my partner. But good to hear from you. All right, brother. That's going to wrap it up for the Gary Harris Show. And this hour has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.